The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Chris Brame from The Home Team. David Johnston from The Morning Show. And when you mix that together, you get The Crossover Podcast. It is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now open in Five Points. And we've got a couple things to cover today. Georgia, Cruton continues to go well. Georgia with another verbal commitment this week. And we'll talk a little bit about the NBA draft as well. The Hawks were busy. And Nicholas Claxton was drafted as well. Maybe not as high as it started to look like he was going to be. Well, he got drafted. He was the first pick of the second round, which is not bad, but it's also not the first round. So
depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going to Brooklyn. So he doesn't have to move because he was already in Brooklyn for the draft. So,
And it was also good that when he did get selected, it was at the Barclays Center last night in Brooklyn. He did get booed like a lot of those famous Jets picks from back in the day.
That's helpful. I was even surprised. I guess they didn't. They loved R.J. Barrett, those Knicks fans.
They
took
did.
Him. So I was kind of thinking if they had taken the kid from Vandy who only played like five games last year, they probably would have booed him. So,
but although apparently he's really, really good.
I didn't even realize he had played at all for them last year. And then I saw highlights where he was clearly playing for Vandy. So I went and looked at his stats. And
what, he played like five games before he got hurt?
Five games, and like the last one he played, like the full game, he scored 33.
Yeah. If he hadn't gotten hurt, I'm going to predict Vandy would not have gone winless in the conference.
You're right. Which would have ended up being like we would have been the worst team in the league then, probably.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll cover the draft and from the Hawks' perspective, and also talk a little bit about Nick and his move to the Brooklyn Nets now. But Georgia gets another four-star commitment at wide receiver, and yet again, what I love about these guys as much as anything, the kid takes a visit to Florida over the weekend, and then that following week commits to Georgia. Marcus Roseme out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So this is just another burn for Dan Mullen.
Calculated on Georgia's part, too. These aren't coincidences of these things that are happening, I think.
I'm with you. So, do you think there's like some, like, hey, why don't you go and take a visit there and then commit to us?
I think that there is a situation where players have maybe been told to commit at a certain time, that even if it's coming off of something. And I'm not saying everyone, and I don't have any inside information, but I do know that there have been a couple of times where the release of information, the release of a verbal commitment has been done when
okay.
it is done.
Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one wearing the tinfoil hat on that, because it's happening too often to think that it's it is a coincidence.
And I think the one yesterday might have been more about a lot of folks getting all bent out of shape because the quarterback here in Athens, Brock Vandegrift, announced that he had committed to Oklahoma for the next cycle. So I guess, or for the cycle that we're talking about. So maybe this was supposed to be some good news on top of what some Georgia fans might consider bad news.
Right. Well, it is another quarterback from the state that's going someplace else.
Yeah.
At least it's Oklahoma.
Right.
Although we got to play them in 23. He could be there.
He could be.
But hey, we've got like a year. He's only a junior.
Right.
So we here at 960 The Ref and 960theref.com and the Crossover Podcast have got a year to basically remind him that Lincoln Riley probably won't be his coach. He'll be coach of the Dallas Cowboys within the next year or so.
Young Lincoln Riley, too. Guy's, what, 35 years old?
Yeah.
At
some point, though, you got to figure there's an NFL owner and a franchise that's going to say, wait a second, we keep drafting his quarterbacks number one, so maybe we should hire him to coach our team.
It is hard to turn down a coach like that if you're a high school kid and they say, by the way, Heisman Trophy winners and number one overall picks are coming our way. That is hard to turn down.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could totally see why he'd be enamored. But for him, I mean, I'm seriously, I think the I mean, I think you'd have to be a little bit concerned that, yes, I'm recruiting, I'm committing to Oklahoma because of Riley's track record with Heisman winners and sending now back-to-back number one overall draft picks. But, I mean, legitimately, I'd be a little bit worried that he would not be the coach there in the next couple of years.
Yeah, you got to figure that the NFL will come calling. Look, if Cliff Kingsbury can do what he did, and I know Texas Tech is a different job than Oklahoma. I mean, I get that, but if he can turn what he did into an NFL head coaching job, Lincoln Riley can too if he wants to.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are the franchise sitting right there that you would think would go after him. And I know they made the playoffs last year, but Jason Garrett is kind of like the NFL's version of Gus Malzahn. As soon as he loses one game, he's back on the hot seat.
He's back on the hot seat.
So we'll see. I mean, I guess it's not over yet, but I mean, we got a good quarterback coming here anyway in Carson Beck. But at the same time, I mean, we do have to acknowledge that we got Eason, we got Fields, and we got Fromm. And as good as Beck looks and as much of the good stuff as we've heard about him, he's not as highly touted a recruit as those three guys were.
Right.
So, and then Dwan Mathis is here, and he was rated like, what, 300-something coming out of high school? So
yeah, he was a top 300 player. But there's a big difference between a top 300 player and the number one overall recruit in the country.
Right.
So, and who, like, that's who we a had
been,
difference.
Yeah, like who we had when been signing. Now, Eason and Fields aren't here, so it's not like they really did us any good anyway to have originally signed them. But Fromm is a superstar.
Right. So it's, you know, and with the transfer portal, that's the position, though, that's the toughest now, because it's not like if you're a linebacker, you know, you can play a lot of a game even if you're not a starter. But if you're a quarterback and you're not a starter, you know, how do you, you know, what do you do? You know, are you just going to stand there all year and not play when you think you should be? You're going to wait it out? You're going to do like DJ Shockley, which, nothing against DJ, and I like DJ a lot, but if the transfer rules were similar then than they are now, he probably wouldn't have stayed.
Probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just one of those things where you just got to deal with the times. And you know, it's almost like if you recruit too well, you're going to lose guys. And if you don't recruit well enough, you might lose out. I mean, I don't know. It's the quarterback position. It's the weird one in the transfer portal.
Yeah, because it's the one where, A, only one of those guys can really play the majority of the snaps. And then, B, it does appear that that's the position, too, that the NCAA is the most lenient with allowing those immediate waivers of eligibility.
And I thought, you know, Georgia did I guess it just depends on your point of view, but I thought Coach Smart and Coach Chaney, they did their best last year with trying to give Fields meaningful snaps, but it still came across as clunky and, you know, just didn't seem to work. And I think it's maybe a good example to other teams of what happens when you are trying to play two quarterbacks like that, or you're trying to appease the other quarterback, and it's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, there were just too many times last year Georgia'd be in the middle of a drive, and then all of a sudden you'd look for a second and realize, oh, wait a second, now Fields is in the game. And I just remember at one point during the season, during one of the Monday press conferences, like, you know, Kirby was talking about Fields, and he said, you know, the deal with Fields and the plan is that there really isn't a plan. Yeah. And I was like, that's one I don't believe I would have said out loud, because that's how it looks, and that's not necessarily the best thing. So, you know, maybe Georgia will be better off as long as Fromm stays healthy. And there's no maybe about it. I mean, Georgia will be better off just knowing this guy's our starter. Yeah. He's going to take the majority of all of our snaps this year.
The most important thing for the season coming up is for Jake Fromm to not get hurt.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, if something did happen to him, then we sure would wish that Fields was still here. But, you can, you know, quarterback is just like any position. I think you can never have too many great players. And, you know, I think Kirby should keep trying to sign all the five stars he can at quarterback, too, and then just deal with the situation once it arises. But with Vandegrift, I mean, I get why him or any quarterback would want to go play for Oklahoma right now.
Yeah, so there's also the element, too, of leaving town. There's a lot of folks that want to get away and go somewhere else for college, and I understand that also.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Georgia fan, if he's as good as everyone says he is, I'd love to see him play for the Dogs, but I also understand the appeal of moving on somewhere else.
Yeah, I just know we, you know, the names keep popping up from Deshaun Watson to now watching Trevor Lawrence to even, you know, Cam Newton. Well, there have been a lot of good QBs in the state that have flown the coop and gone and won titles at other places.
Yeah, and Josh Fields, or excuse me, Justin Fields did sign here, but he's gone too. So I guess he doesn't technically count since Georgia did.
We did get
sign
him.
Yeah. But he's gone.
He is. He's gone to Ohio State.
So he sort of fits in that category.
And it is strange now in this day and age where, because of the playoff, even going back to Vandegrift going to Oklahoma or Fields at Ohio State, like the way the SEC now doesn't even really function like a conference. Like, we'd probably be better off if they had gone to LSU or something, because there might be less of a chance we'd have to put up with them.
That's a good point.
Like, we might have to face Fields.
Yeah, that's the thing. Would the chances be higher that Georgia would face Fields if he were at LSU than going to Ohio State or Oklahoma? I mean, I think it's about the same.
Yeah, maybe even slightly.
You know when LSU's on the schedule.
Yeah, but maybe even slightly higher with them out of conference, because, I mean, the thing's still with LSU, even if they were there, like, you know, over the course of a full season, are they going to be able to best Bama?
That's a good point. And we know for a fact we don't see LSU again on the regular season schedule until 25.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So we just played them last year. So, and we go to Norman before we ever go to College Station still, which is just
bizarre.
It's nuts.
I've been told A&M is in the SEC, but I don't believe. I'll believe it the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. But we do get so Marcus Roseme commits this week, 6'2 receiver out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's the 6th-rated receiver for the class of 2020 and the number 4 prospect in the state of Florida. And that's another thing, too, when you look at that list of the top prospects in the state of Florida, the Gators aren't landing a lot of them either. So it's interesting times in Gainesville when it comes to Mullen here in this recruiting cycle. And he put the target on his back by running his mouth. He has kind of grown silent, but we're only now like 3 weeks away from SEC Con. So,
which, of course, he's going to be asked about.
Yeah,
he's going to have to talk about it again.
Yeah, and then he'll probably try and pretend like he really didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, he's already started to kind of backstep anyway, a little bit.
Well, then Kirby will probably be asked about it too. I mean, what is he going to – is he going to pretend like, I don't pay attention to that stuff?
But at least he can say that, because he hasn't said anything else really anyway.
Yeah, now he had the one thing about, well, we do our talking with our helmets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I guess it does at least acknowledge that you're aware of the nonsense that's coming, which of course we know that he is.
Of course he is, yes.
Because, like, I mean, because you and I agree that the timing of some of these verbal commitments and the fact that they visit Florida and then immediately after are committing to Georgia is not a coincidence.
There's things going on there that the reason sometimes we get these announcements when we do is for a reason.
Yeah. Because I would think, like, Roseme probably told Georgia's coaches, like, hey, I want to commit. And they went, hey, do us a favor.
Yeah.
Go visit Florida first and then tell us you want to commit here.
Although,
okay.
You think about it, that's pretty ballsy to tell, if that were the case.
Yeah, right.
Say, hey, go visit our arch rival and then commit to us.
Sure.
It's like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah, because they could
really
like
putting it out there.
But this class has a good national flavor, too, with what do we got? We got Washington, D.C. There's 3 from Texas. Now 5 from Florida. So you got Texas, Florida, and then Georgia, and then the one kid from Mekhi Sherman, the linebacker from
D.C. He's considered, I think, the best one of the group.
Yeah. He's 5-star, Rivals rating 6.1, which is right there. Also, Tate Ratledge, same rating.
Yeah. By the way, Sherman kind of fits the kind of the Clemson mold right now, doesn't he, a little bit? Just like those, that Baltimore, Washington, that area there, which has got a lot of really good football players, and Clemson's doing really well there too. It's great to see Georgia go up in there and get Sherman.
Yeah, the Virginia schools and the Maryland not appealing to him at this point.
Yeah.
A chance to play in the Big Ten.
Maybe, you know, maybe Maryland will be a little bit more. I mean, the Locksley hire is certainly an interesting one. I know his first go-round as a head coach, at New Mexico?
Regular New Mexico. It was awful.
Yeah.
And
there
was trouble
tumultuous
for him, too. Yeah.
Yes, it was. But there seems to be this feeling with him now that He's a different guy. He's matured. He's going into kind of like heel the situation there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see.
But we're talking in New Mexico, there was like lawsuits and stuff, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the guy they're
bringing. Because it was from like I know he'd gotten like in a.
It was a fight with
fight
an
with
assistant.
Not like an argument, but like a literal fight.
Yeah, fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the one going into heel.
I know. It sounds weird. I agree. But that's just kind of the feeling I get from what his hiring is there for Maryland.
Boy, trouble just seems to find Damon Evans.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
All right, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now open in Five Points in Athens. Chris and Dave with you. Glad you're joining us. As always, you could subscribe on iTunes. Download us there or listen on demand anytime at 960theref.com. We will pause. We'll come back and we'll touch on the NBA draft, which has happened. The Hawks had a few picks, made a little bit of noise, and Georgia had, unfortunately, not a player go in the first round, but Claxton was the first pick of the second round. It's the Crossover Podcast here on 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Washington.
All right, the Crossover Podcast, episode 92, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now open in Five Points. The NBA draft, no shocker, Zion Williamson was the number one overall pick. But the Hawks had a bunch of picks. They had six of them in the top 44. They sold two of them. Then they traded, three of them?
Yes.
And then they ended up picking twice, and then they traded back into the second round to take that that big man from
Maryland. They ended up with three picks.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter went number 4 overall. Cam Reddish went number 10 overall. And then the center for Maryland, Bruno Fernando.
Yeah.
I love that name.
It's a good name.
Number 34 overall.
I, before the draft started, I mean, the Hawks were pretty much the team pegged to take Cam Reddish. And in the aftermath, I mean, Travis Schlenk even admitted, like, we've been watching him since high school. They like him. That was the one. That's the pick I'm not crazy about. But I love Hunter from Virginia because he was there for 2 years. That team went 66-6. And what even elevates his stock in my eyes is he was hurt and they became the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed. And then he was healthy and they won the national championship.
They won the national championship.
Yeah.
He's Stacey Augmon with a much better offensive game.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've come to the conclusion with DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, we're kind of back to the Hawks and the wingmen.
Yeah,
the guys
exactly.
With the wingspan and the wingmen. And that is – Reddish is one of the – you know, talk about his wingspan and potentially a good defender, but – he was not a good shooter. His shooting percentage at the rim was right at 50% last year. He took a lot of threes, but his field goal percentage taking two-pointers was less than 30%. He had a better field goal percentage shooting threes than he did twos.
Yeah, Reddish is one of those guys, he looks the part.
Yeah.
And there's the potential there. You see it where he could be the part. But, yeah, just when you look at his stats, when you look at his numbers, when you look at his production, it doesn't say all the stuff that you think you're eyeballing. Maybe it'll be – and I know he was behind Williamson and he was behind Barrett, but maybe with this Hawks team that he's coming into, there's not that same pressure since you've already got Trae Young, you've already got John Collins, you've already got Herter. A lot of things are expected from DeAndre Hunter. Maybe that'll take the pressure off of Reddish.
Yeah, and that was – I mean, Schlenk kind of hinted at that too, that he was the first of those big three to sign with Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so maybe he – at the point that he had signed, they still hadn't gotten Zion, and even Barrett wasn't there yet. And so, you know, by the time those other two signed on, Reddish probably originally signed and thinking, well, I'm the dude here. And then by the time it was all said and done, he was a part of a trio, and maybe it just didn't – that situation, yeah, it didn't fit – best for him, but Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, at Duke, they had three players taken in the top 10 and couldn't get to the Final Four. Is it time for Krzyzewski to hang it up?
Does that guy know anything about basketball?
Right? I mean, that's got to be – that's a huge fail, isn't it?
Well, it was interesting seeing that list of teams that had – either, a first and a third. Did you see during the draft last night?
The number one and three?
The one and three. It's happened like six or seven times over the course of the draft. One of them was Lou Alcindor. And I can't remember who the others were. But it wasn't like as dominating a list as you would think it was.
Right.
So, I mean, there were some good names on it, but there were also some guys that were taking either number one or number three that didn't really pan out.
Sure.
So, could be the case again this year. I don't know.
Well, I did see the last time a team had three players taken in the top 10 were those Billy Donovan Florida teams, and they did win the national championships. Duke doesn't even get to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's definitely a good point.
Hang it up, rat. No, but
you know anything about basketball.
Yeah.
What about the Nick Claxton situation? Now, I have to say, was it like a month ago, five, 6 weeks ago? We were in here talking, and I was like, oh, he's coming back. There's no way. He's just testing the waters. And you were like, nah, I got a feeling on this. The way he's throwing this stuff out there, he's really serious. He's not going to come back. You were absolutely right. But today, is he wishing he might have come back? Big difference between first and second round. Now, the notion, and I'd even fallen for this a little bit, about not being able to guarantee a second-round pick money, that's actually not true. There are situations where second-round pick can get guaranteed money. It depends on the team that takes him.
Right.
And I think with the Nets, he is in a situation, because they didn't have a first-round pick. He was their first pick of the night. So I don't think it would be a money thing as far as that one. Oh, he made a terrible mistake. No, he didn't. He's
going to be on the team.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be playing in, the Turks and Caicos next year or anything like that, as far as I can tell.
No.
He'll be a member of the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. He's going to be playing pro basketball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he made the move, and I think – I mean, when he made that decision, there was probably a thought like, well, he's not ready. He's not going to get drafted. And then he went through the process, and suddenly, yeah, it did sound like he was really moving up the draft boards and his stock was rising. I mean, he got invited to the thing last night. To me, it's like probably at the point that he announced he was going to step away and at least explore it, I think he still ended up probably drafted higher than a lot of people thought he would, being the first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
And
a good situation for him. From what it sounds like as well there with Brooklyn. And he still got a lot, obviously, you know, he even admitted he hears a lot about being a project and that kind of thing, which to an extent he is.
Sure,
but
yeah.
He does a lot of things that the new NBA, if you want to call it that, likes.
He's a 6'11 guy that can handle the ball, run the floor.
Yeah.
Now, in the new NBA, or I mean at any level of basketball now, I mean, he definitely has to become a better jump shooter.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll see if he can work on that. But, some of the criticisms you hear about him, or maybe the knocks on him, were like, well, he was too thin or this or that. Like, none of that stuff was going to get any better for him had he come back to Georgia for another year. So, whatever drawbacks he had as a NBA prospect right now, it wasn't like it was going to improve with another year at Georgia. So if he was ready to turn pro now, I mean, it worked out for him. He got drafted, and he's going to be playing in the NBA next year.
I guess if spin rate is the new thing in baseball, not that wingspan's not, but I feel like I heard that word more than anything last night, wingspan.
Yeah.
But he's got it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that was
– that's what he's built to do, is get out there and make the other team a little bit more miserable when he's playing defense.
Because I think the steal of the draft was I don't remember who did it. Who took the kid from Gonzaga, Brandon Clark?
Yes. I mean, he went late in the first round.
Yeah, because I kept hearing about him is his wingspan, it was his height.
Right.
Like, you know, most ordinary people. and I understand NBA players aren't ordinary people. That's why they're in the NBA, but – you know, that was another one of the, okay, so he's 6'8", and his wingspan is 6'8", but I also saw him have this historically great season at Gonzaga this past year. And he's 22, so I get that knock too. I mean, there are guys that are playing in the NBA for probably like 2-3 years now that are still younger than him.
Well, like the nucleus of the Hawks.
Yeah.
They're like all younger than that.
Well, because like who was it that took Cam Johnson from North Carolina really high earlier than anyone thought? And I think he's like one of the oldest players on his roster now. Yeah.
I know. And that's what's going to happen with the Hawks, too, when they get rid of some of these contract guys. Maybe they'll be on the team this year, but after this year, when they get all that money off the books, I mean, Collins will be like the grizzled veteran on the team.
But you do for the Hawks now, you got your, I guess your five or what? You got Young, Collins, Herter, Hunter, and now like Reddish.
Reddish, or like, are you talking about starting five? Or like,
or just sort of like a
Deadman. Yeah, that's nucleus. The nucleus.
You and know, then you've still got Bazemore. He's around.
Yeah, at least for now.
Right.
I guess, yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, like that Dwayne Dedmon could, you know, potentially be your center if that's the way you wanted to go. Omari Spellman, he was another guy they drafted last year. I don't fitting in the plans. But, yeah, the nucleus is all guys that are, like, very, very young.
Well, and
but I will say this. I was at least on the broadcast last night on ESPN – they, you know, the vibes for Atlanta were all positive. The Hawks were getting a lot of love about the draft and what they did last year, which at the time, Travis Schlink was, a lot of fans were giving him a hard time for the young Doncic trade. And now that you see how it's kind of played out a little bit, a lot of folks are excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, as it worked out, because I was one, I wanted Doncic too. But as it turns out, like, well, they're both good.
Yeah.
Young is good, Doncic is good, so it's going to work out for the Hawks in the end. And I mean, I'm excited about him. But now this, I think the key is too, is can they get to a point where maybe at some point they can land a free agent, and Anthony Davis is still on the last year of his contract, even though he's going to LA, but maybe go out there for 1 year and look at LeBron and be like, you're old.
Yeah.
And go play for this younger team in the Hawks.
Who knows? And for next year, he's really, it's not a great free agent class next year.
Yeah.
He's really like it.
Right.
So, although, what do you think is going to happen with Durant?
I think the Knicks are still going to sign him and pay him, and he won't play next
year. That's what I was going to say. So he won't, like, go through a cycle of no one signing him, right? Somebody will sign him.
Someone will sign him, yeah. Yeah, for sure. He's not just going to sit out there.
Just going to sit out there for nothing, you know, because he's hurt.
And I also don't think he's going to just stay in Golden State.
Right.
So I'm sure the Knicks will still pony
up. And what about Klay Thompson? He'd be in the same boat. So probably. He re-signed with Golden State.
I feel like he's going to stay there, yeah.
Yeah. Although you figure he's probably out next year, too.
Yeah, because that was his knee, right?
Yeah, it was ACL.
His ACL, yeah.
And Durant's was the Achilles. So, yeah, I mean, those are two big free agent names that teams are going to sign even though they're hurt.
Yeah, and I think the Knicks for sure will still do the Durant, which is just, you know, the typical luck of the Knicks.
So they'll have Durant and Barrett with a year under his belt.
Yeah. Boy, New York went all Duke this year in the draft, huh?
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did.
Took Daniel Jones and RJ. They wanted Zion, but they got RJ Barrett instead. All right, that'll do it. Another edition of the...
Hey, I did want to ask you, though, before we... All right, we're talking about New York. I wanted to bring up Dallas real quick. Dallas Keuchel, who's supposed to make his Braves debut tonight. Is this going to be the thing? The Braves right now have a 4.5-game lead on the Phillies.
You know, and the Phillies right now look like they've already taken the gas.
I know.
And so the Braves...
it's such a long way to go, though.
It is.
The McCutchen thing was big for them, though.
And they've, their bullpen has been banged up, too. Like, right now, their starting rotation's a mess also, isn't it? They're only doing a 4-man rotation. Yep. I think they're doing
the fifth guy.
The starter, or whatever they call it.
Yeah. And they're finding out the Harper situation may not have been as rosy as it seemed.
Yeah. The... like the Braves are in D.C. this weekend, and the Nationals are suddenly only 2 under .500, right?
Yeah, they were 10 under .500 like 2.5 weeks
ago. Yeah, I'm starting to feel like the Nationals are probably the team we got to watch out for.
I think the Nationals are approaching this like you get the feeling they realize this might be a bigger weekend for them than maybe the Braves feel like it is the other way around, because it seems like all the focus has been on Philadelphia. But like what you say, the team that's been better over the last month is definitely the Braves.
Yeah, because what is the Braves are now...
The Nationals, I'm sorry.
I guess the Braves are now 4.5 up on the Phillies?
Yes. Yes.
And so what's the lead over... I'm pulling it up right now. The lead over the Nationals is 7.5, yeah. But they did win. They won 4 in a row.
Yeah, they're playing good baseball right now. And Strasburg and I guess Keuchel tonight will be a good pitching match.
Yeah. And the Braves are gonna dodge Scherzer though.
They are gonna dodge Scherzer thanks to that little snafu there with the foul ball.
Yeah.
He would have pitched Sunday.
Well, but he pitched the other day, I think, didn't he?
It threw him back one day. So
that's right.
So I think he would have been Sunday, but now he'll miss the series.
Okay. So he was gonna pitch the night he bounced the ball
Correct.
Off his face, and
yeah.
he pitched the next day.
Pitched
instead.
The next
I
day,
did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a break there for the Braves.
Yeah. Appreciate you checking us out again this week. It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also now open in Five Points. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can get us that way or listen to us anytime on demand at 960theref.com. For Dave, I'm Chris. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.